Likutei Sichos, Volume 24, Sukkos. We find that in the joy of the holiday of Sukkos, there are experiences and expressions of joy, aside from the fact that it is a Yom Tov, a festival, and particularly the festival of our rejoicing, Zman Simchaseinu, that we experience as a result of two special mitzvahs that we do on Sukkos, like the joy connected to the mitzvah of the Arba Minim, the four kinds on this holiday. Torah commands us, Ulkachtem lochem, b'yem harishin, take these four kinds on the first day of the holiday of Sukkos and rejoice with these before God for the entire week of the festival, as well as the joy associated with the nisuch hamayim, the pouring of water poured onto the altar during the Sukkos festival in the temple. The water was drawn the night before, and the nation celebrated all night in preparation for the water pouring in the morning. The order of these two joyous experiences, and which preceded the other, is determined and depends on a dispute between the sages and the Tractate of Tainus in regards to when the water pouring began. According to one opinion, the water pouring began the second day of Sukkos in the morning, and accordingly, the first drawing of the water was on the second night of Sukkos, after the mitzvah of blessing the four kinds the first day, and the joy associated with that. But the law, as determined by Maimonides, goes according to the second opinion, which is that the pouring of water on the altar was done all 7 days of the holiday, and so the drawing of the water preceded the first water pouring on the first day of Yom Tov, which took place on the first night of the holiday. This would be before the mitzvah of the four kinds was fulfilled on the first day of the holiday of Sukkos. Torah teaches the rule that all opinions of our sages are words of the living God, and therefore it's understood that both opinions have spiritual significance, including the opinion that the drawing of water took place on the second night. In addition, according to the law that the drawing of water took place in the first night, the full joy of Simchas Beis HaSheva, the epic joy which took place accompanied by an orchestra in the temple, only began when the first day of the holiday ended. And though this was actually due to the fact that the instruments could not be played on the festival, as playing an instrument does not, in the case of water pouring, override the Shabbos or festival, today when celebrating the water pouring, we aren't dependent on the musical instruments that accompany the ceremony because we don't have the temple. In a manner, what we have ruined becomes our correction as we begin to celebrate the joy of the water drawing, Simchas Beis HaSheva, with immense emotion on the very first night of the holiday. Nevertheless, every aspect of Torah is specific and intentional. So it's understood that the epic joy in the temple, which was celebrated when the first days of the holiday ended, was more congruent with the significance of this joy. And in fact, this level of joy, as it was in the temple, can only be fully experienced with the conclusion of the first day of the holiday and henceforth. We'll understand this better via an understanding of the reason that tells us what the connection is between pouring the water and the joy of the holiday of Sukkos. One of the differences between the joy of the wine libation on the altar and the joy of the water libation is that the joy of the wine is organically connected to the nature of man. Wine creates lightheartedness and joy. So though there's a holy joy at the wine libation as it's connected to the service in the temple, it's also organically or naturally connected to man, connected to man's nature, or to human nature. Similarly, to when one rejoices on the festivals, one should do so with wine, as the celebration of joy is fulfilled through wine. Yet, drinking wine to celebrate a holiday is not a result of one's physical yearnings. One drinks for the mitzvah of being joyous. And so the joy that results from this isn't because of the wine, but rather it's due to the commandment one is fulfilling. Jews are a unique and holy nation. In other words, even the Jewish body is unique and holy. That tells us that the joy that a Jewish person, a Jewish body, experiences actually comes from the holiness and the mitzvah in the wine. Nevertheless, because the joy is specifically connected to wine, as wine organically arouses joy, it is understood that the joy of this mitzvah actually has a connection to the physicality of the world and isn't just a spiritual experience. But joy connected to pouring water on the altar is not a joy that's associated with a physical, as water does not in any organic, natural way generate joy. And thus, this joy of the water drawing is in no way connected to human nature, and it's only a result of the commandment that we've been given to draw water with joy. This is the quality of the water libation over the wine libation, because the wine libation has some connection to humanness, to human nature. It's immediately limited, thus, by the definitions of natural man. But the water libation, which generates a joy completely unrelated to nature, and is only because of God's mitzvah, which is boundless and limitless, is a boundless and limitless joy. It's explained and well known that every Jew has an inner altar. And so these two types of joy, the joy of the wine libation on the altar and the joy of the water libation on the altar, exist as well in the inner spiritual experience of man's altar. The joy of pouring the wine reflects man's service and the joy in a mitzvah performed through intellectual contemplation. When a Jew ponders and contemplates the greatness of the merit that God has given him in granting him the opportunity to fulfill a mitzvah, and then meditates upon the result of his fulfillment of a mitzvah, his connection to God through that mitzvah, he's moved to great joy. But because the joy is connected to intellect and contemplation, it's a joy that reflects both the joy of the mitzvah, but also the existential reality that there's someone who fulfills that mitzvah, like the joy that comes through the medium of wine. And because this joy is compounded by intellect, it's a limited joy, limited by one's capacity of thought and consciousness. On the other hand, the joy of pouring water is an example of a joy of a mitzvah, which is beyond intellect and contemplation. When a Jew is prepared to have self-sacrifice, to give himself totally to God, he has no need for an intellectual understanding of the greatness of a mitzvah. Just hearing that something is a mitzvah, an opportunity to connect to God, one becomes overjoyed. That kind of joy is a true joy, without restraint or limitation, reaching the essence of the soul, transcending one's revealed strengths. And one who has not seen the joy of the water drawing has not witnessed joy in his lifetime, Sarah Sages. Such is the joy of the water libation. This, then, is also the general connection with the joy of the water drawing to the festival of Sukkot. The joy of Sukkot, which is a time of our rejoicing, is a result of all that took place on Rosh Hashanah and Aseret Yemei Teshuvah, the 10 days of return, until and including the particular day of Yom Kippur. As Chassidus teaches, the schach, the covering of the sukkah, which reflects the clouds of glory in the desert, is drawn into the mitzvah from the repentance and the clouds and smoke from the Ketoret offering on Yom Kippur. This one-day service of Yom Kippur is the work of the Yechidah of one's soul, the connection of the very essence of the soul with the absolute essence of God. It is the aspect of the soul that is the Yechidah which can bond us totally to the oneness of God. Sukkot then follows and draws this oneness with God out of an internal hidden state into a revealed state, so that a Jew experiences this oneness fully, in everything. The very mitzvah of Sukkot is to dwell in the sukkah for 7 days. In other words, whatever one would do in their home, eat, drink, etc., is done in the sukkah for the 7 days of Yom Tov, so that all of these things are surrounded by the mitzvah of the sukkah. As a side note, this is how the mitzvah of Sukkot is different to and more elevated than the mitzvah of talis. One wraps oneself in a talis, and the talis covers one's head and most of one's body, but the sukkah literally encompasses the entire person and everything a Jew does without limitation. And so the festival of Sukkot, which is the time of the water libations in the temple, that begins with the joy of drawing the water, a joy that has no boundaries and no limitations with an intellect and reason, is a joy that resounds with the mitzvah of Sukkot, which too has no limitations or boundaries. Now the mitzvah of Lulav, too, is not a separate mitzvah that we observe on the holiday of Sukkot. Rather, it's intrinsically connected to and is also a byproduct of the mitzvah of dwelling in the sukkah, as we see from the rule taught by the Alter Rebbe that making the blessing on the lulav in the sukkah is optimal. The sukkah encompasses a Jew completely in what Chassidus calls a manner of makif, and the four kinds, the lulav, etrog, hadassim, and aravos, make this makif experience personal and internalize this makif experience. This is actually expressed in the manner in which we observe the mitzvah of lulav with the unique movements of the lulav, moving it towards our heart, indicating that this should also be an experience of the heart. And the heart is the organ that nurtures all of one's organs, and indeed the entire being, including the head and one's consciousness. So this mitzvah of the four kinds actually brings a completeness and a wholeness to the mitzvah of sukkah. While the divine service of man has an innate limitation of human consciousness, and thus requires a service of self-sacrifice, as we mentioned in regards to the water libation, and that has no effect on the nature of man, and is thus unfettered by the inherent limitations of man, even this service of self-sacrifice can remain extrinsic to the human experience. The four kinds in the sukkah that is completely makif a Jew represent the service that inculcates even our intellect and our emotions, our inner capacities, thereby affecting the steering of self-sacrifice to become completely absorbed within us. So much so that also our inner selves express and experience self-sacrifice. And this full experience that reflects the inner self indicates the unlimitedness of self-sacrifice, showing how there is no part of the spirit that has not reached this level of service and isn't absorbed within it. According to all that we've said so far, we'll also understand the inner reason for the opinion that drawing the water begins on the second night of Sukkot, only after we've observed the mitzvah of the four kinds. Just as the wholeness of the service of self-sacrifice in general is achieved through inculcating our inner capacities, it's certainly the case in regards to the joy that results from this divine service, as the arousal of this joy is specifically through something that can be more obviously experienced. And true joy is only when joy has no limitations, when joy can transcend thought and is experienced not only in a makif manner, but is actually deeply internalized. Now we can understand how the joy of drawing the water, which is in its fulfillment a result of the mitzvah of dwelling in the sukkah, of the mitzvah of the four kinds in the sukkah, begins on the second night of the festival of Sukkot, after the observance of, and you shall take for yourselves a pre-Eitz Hadar, the etrog, the lulav, hadassim, and aravos, bound together in a mitzvah of the four kinds, and drawn to your heart, to your inner self, completely internalizing the experience. It is then that the water drawing with all the joy representing an unlimited divine service can take place. And yet, nevertheless, the actual water drawing did take place on the first night of the festival, as the water pouring was on the first day. And because this must be done with joy, then this first night water drawing too was with all the appropriate and relegated joy. So, though this water drawing took place before the mitzvah of the four kinds in the sukkah, the mitzvah being encompassed by the schach and the sukkah was observed. from the very first moment that one sits in the sukkah, which is the framework for the joy of the festival on the first night of Sukkot. And so the possibility of the joy of the water drawing already exists, and indeed in a way that transcends the limitations of thought and contemplation. The joy, however, flows from only a makif experience of the sukkah at that point, and so it isn't the total revealed joy of the water drawing that will be experienced on the eve after the second day, accompanied by music and instruments. That level of joy will be experienced in full only after the observance of the mitzvah of the four kinds draws the experience of the sukkah inwards, and it becomes a personal and intimate experience. With this in mind, we can understand how now, in our times in exile, the custom in many places is to begin the rejoicing of the water drawing, Simchas Beis HaSheva, on the first night of the holiday of Sukkot. It was in the time of the temple particularly that drawing the makif light of divine revelation inwards was experienced. In the time of exile, however, when we don't merit to see the miracles of the temple and revealed godliness, the work we have to do begins with the external work. The self-sacrifice that is experienced today is to feel strong among the naysayers and among those who mock us, to be strong as a leopard, like an eagle, like a deer, like a lion, qualities that transcend the limitations of human intellect. Because of our current reality, the second night of the water drawing isn't as pronounced in its joy, with its full experience of drawing the makif inwards, as compared to the first night. But of course, as all aspects of Torah are indeed eternal, on the second night of rejoicing these days, we increase the joy on the second night so that it is greater than the first night celebration, so much so that it feels like the rejoicing of the second night is the first time we're expressing this joy. And actually, for this very reason, there's an advantage in the joy of the water drawing celebration in our times versus the joy of temple times. Just like the concept of self-sacrifice, which is different in the time of exile, because there isn't the capacity for the great revelation of one's inner strengths. It's the external experience of Mesiras Nefesh, self-sacrifice, that is more open and obvious than it was in the times of the temple. So too, the joy in this celebration of the water libation is expressed with greater joy from the essence of one's soul.